Hey, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be looking at verses 23 through 25. And we'll be kind of looking at some different passages this morning. The title of this message is The Beauty of Community. The Beauty of Community. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, we'll read it and then we'll pray. Says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, God, that we can get into your word. And we ask that your word would go down deep in us, that your roots, it would just go down deep, Lord, in that soil that's healthy, God, that's receptive, that you would just have your way in our lives, that you would bear fruit in our lives, God, that you would help us to abide in you. I pray that as we look at what a biblical community looks like, that you would give us a vision for this, Father, that this wouldn't be lost on us, that if we've been hurt, or if we're jaded, you know, by communities that we've been in, I pray that you would help heal our wounds, that you'd give us a new heart and new motivation, new expectation for what you want to do. And so be exalted in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the beauty of communities. As some of you may have heard, and some of you may have not heard, but we're planning kind of a new season with Resound. We've been having some different ministries go on, and before COVID, really, you know, a couple years back, it was kind of interesting. We had a lot of different programs and we had some different things going on, ministries of the church. And what COVID kind of did was it kind of gave us a reset of like, what do we want Resound to look like? It's easy to kind of do things that we've always done, but we really want to capture a vision for what does God have for us in this time. And I think there's some freedom there in that. There's some mystery as well, right? We're like, man, it doesn't have to look like how it's always looked. It can look differently. And what we feel and sense from the Lord in this season is that he's calling us to be a part of community. And we're going to talk about what that means. Not just to come to church on Sunday, but really, there's different ministries, there's different pools that, you know, we feel drawn to. There's different needs in the church. And kind of the big thing right now, the place we're kind of gearing up toward is to have a community group, right? We've been meeting on Wednesdays for a while now on Zoom. We've been having our Bible study and prayer meeting on that day. And thank you for those of you who have come out to that. It's a real encouragement to us, and it's sweet to be able to do life with you in that context. We know that's not ideal, and we know that being in person is kind of the ideal. And we feel like the Lord is leading us into this season, and we're switching the day from Wednesday to Friday. So we're going to be meeting on Fridays at Community Covenant in Goleta. And we just want to invite you all to join us as we kind of go on this journey, as we kind of meet together in person. We're going to be having food. We're going to have a prayer and worship night to kind of kick it off. And after that, we have some freedom to kind of see what we want it to look like. But we're going to kind of talk about the different elements in community as we kind of get into the scripture this morning. But I just want this to be on your radar. I want to invite you out. I know some of you haven't come out for a while, and that's okay. This is going to be a new slate. This is time where it's like, hey, just because you haven't been coming doesn't mean you have to just not come. We would invite you in. Take part. Join us. We're all the body of Christ. And when we have missing people that maybe aren't dedicated or kind of devoted to what the Lord has, we're not all we can be, right? Like, we need your giftings. We need your presence. And it's a huge blessing to the community at large. It's not just about our individual needs. It's really, we're all in this thing together. And so I just want to encourage us to come out, to have that on the radar, to be praying that the Lord would be leading us and guiding us in this time. We saw these verses in Hebrews 10. And as we look at the beauty of community, many of you have been a part of different communities, and sometimes there's certain hobbies or certain common interests that kind of unite certain communities. What we see in Hebrews and what we see throughout Scripture is that for those who believe in Jesus Christ, you have been brought into a community. And we see here, and we see throughout Scripture really, that this idea of community isn't just, it's not just starting with people. It's not just about our needs and having our needs met, but really the idea of community stems from the Godhead, the Trinity, the triunity of God, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why is this an important teaching that we have, right? Well, what separates the God of the Bible from other gods? Well, this is an interesting thing, that before there was creation, before the Lord created anything, He had been eternally existing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This community within the Godhead, it was already there. And what happens when the Lord creates humans, He creates us in His image, what we see there is that we've been invited into this relationship, this community in the Godhead. You see, God did not create us because He was lonely. God has perfect relationship in and of Himself. The Father loving the Son through the Spirit. God does not need us. He did not create us because He needs us, but rather He wants to invite us into this deep relationship with Himself. And so I think it's important that we realize when we talk about community, we tend to start with us, but the Bible starts with God. And I think as we see God, that we've been invited into something bigger than us, we're able to see community in the right lens. And you notice in these verses here, notice the language that the author is using here. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promises faithful, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Notice how the Bible speaks about Christians. It's not just about I and me in Christianity. It's really about we and us. Notice how many times those phrases come up. Let us hold fast the confession. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so community, as we look at it, starts with God, but it doesn't go just right to us as individuals. It's really about this bigger idea that we're a collective body, that we are the family of God. To be a Christian is to be a part of a family. Now, we often emphasize the individual aspect of salvation, of what it means to be a Christian, but we oftentimes leave this alone, that to be a Christian is actually to be a part of a family. Think about your own family for a minute. You didn't choose the members of your family. Right? Unless you're adopted, or unless you have someone adopted in your family, you didn't choose the members of your family. The same is true for the family of God. You don't get to choose who your brothers and sisters are. That's the Lord's doing. We're called to be united. We're called to walk together, to do life together in the Lord. That means that we don't avoid each other. We don't avoid the people who are difficult. Although sometimes, if we're honest, we would have to say, you know what, we do that. We do avoid people. But that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus invites us to deep relationship with each other. And the author of Hebrews here calls us to hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. These people in this day were going through some difficult times. They were tempted to go back to the old ways, the old covenant, to let go of Christ. They were drifting. They were neglecting the great salvation that they've been given. And they were in danger of shipwrecking their faith. And the author pleads with them, hold fast together with believers the hope that you have, because God is faithful. And he says there, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need biblical community. You need it. I need it. We all need it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need biblical community. We're called to consider each other, to stir up one another to love and good works. Or one translation, I believe, says to provoke one another towards love and good works. Don't you need that spurring on at times? Isn't it easy to become lackadaisical in your Christian life? To kind of just coast and be comfortable? What happens when we're a community? We sharpen each other. We actually bother each other sometimes. Someone might call you out on something that you're like, man, like, I just want to go solo because these people are just like calling me out. But you know what? You need to hear it oftentimes. I need to hear it. There's been people when I've been part of community group who have called me out on things. Not just one person. This has been confirmed with other people. They're like, hey, man, you're blowing it. This isn't what God has. We see you making these bad decisions. That's not what God has for you. And you know what that, you know what that is? That's a loving thing. You know what happens, though? Oftentimes when people start getting the hard truth, they like the idea of community, but they don't like the implications of it. There's accountability built into there. They just leave. If you're telling me something that I don't want to hear, I'm out. I'm looking for a new community. Some of you have done that. And you're only hurting yourself. You need to understand this. You're failing to grow because you don't want anyone to bring correction to you. You're like so proud that you're like, I'm not going to allow anyone to speak down to me. And you're only hurting yourself and your own spiritual growth. When we humble ourselves and we're able to hear each other, we're able here to stir up one another to love and good works, as the author says here. We find ourselves walking in the best that God has for us. Notice he mentions there, he says, don't neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. So there's a proclivity to neglect the community, to neglect meeting together. I've heard people say, you know what, this, you know, however we're doing community group or Zoom, it's not meeting my needs. And it's like, I get that. I understand that. But are you just showing up? Are you just looking at what can the church do for me? If this ain't meeting my needs, I'm out. What kind of commitment is there to the broader family of God? There's no death to self in that. It's all about you. I'm not getting it here, so I'm going to go to this church or I'm going to go to that church. There's people that are constantly moving churches. They don't want to plant down somewhere because they're always looking for the next best thing. And listen, we want everyone to be a part of a church, whichever church that is. It's not about just being here. It's just like, just be somewhere and plant down. And don't just hop around. Be invested. Go through the tough times with the church. As we're going through COVID, that was such a great opportunity, right? Like the last couple of years were such a great opportunity to say, you know what? I'm gonna show up on Wednesday. I'm gonna pray. Yeah, is it doing much for me? Not really. But you know what? Like we choose to do it not just for ourselves, but for the greater good of the body. And I can't tell you what an encouragement it is to see so many of you come out on Wednesdays. I know there's not a lot, you know, that you might be getting like, it's like, man, it's not the same as being in person. And there's a lot of different things. It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's in the middle of the week. It's kind of late. I know there's a lot of things working against you. But man, I just so appreciate the effort and just the presence of you guys showing up and say, we're going to get after it, man. We're going to get in the word. Yeah, it's not ideal, but you know what? We're going to pray and we're going to see God move and we're going to push through this tough time. I would encourage you, those of you who haven't been involved, this is a new season, a new invitation to come out, to be a part of what God's doing in the community. There are no Lone Ranger Christians in Christianity. To be a Christian is to be part of a family. And so I would encourage us to think not only about our own needs, but about the larger needs of the body of Christ. change really happens in the context of community, right? Yes, you will change as you behold the glory of the Lord, as you are in the Word and you're praying and you're going through the spiritual disciplines, you'll change. But I can't tell you how much change has come being in the context of other believers, believers who are more mature than me, believers who maybe are newer, like they're new to the faith. They inspire me. They ask questions and I'm like, man, I need to go look up these answers. Whereas I would not have looked up those answers if I didn't get those questions. There are people who spur us on and we want to create space and put ourselves in those positions to allow change to happen in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. And when we step into community, we're stepping into a space where we can see God move. We're united in Christ, right? We've been brought into this body. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with the blood of Christ, adopted into his family, united in Christ. And so we share that union with each other. Notice the author here says, we're to encourage one another, right? And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The truth of the matter is this, that today we are one day closer to the return of Jesus. If you didn't know that Jesus is coming, he is. Jesus Christ, just like he came the first time, he's promised that he will come back a second time. And the knowledge of his coming is to move us closer to community, to really enter in, to encourage each other, to say, you know what, we're not going to neglect meeting, even though I feel like not going. I don't want to go to Sunday. I don't want to go to Wednesday or Friday. When we think about the Lord's coming, that this day is drawing near, he says we're to do it all the more. We're to meet together, to not give up on each other, to keep going forward, because each day that passes is one day closer to the coming of the Lord. We've seen our need for biblical community, right? This is wired in us. This is the way God has created us for community, to thrive in community. But also, what does a biblical community look like? Like, what does a healthy biblical community do? What are like the activities of the community? What are our priorities as a community? What do we devote ourselves to? Turn with me to Acts 2, verse 42. This is speaking of the disciples, the early church. This is the activities of the early church. This is what they were doing. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Look at what it says here. These are verses that mark a healthy community, okay? It says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Okay, so just listen to that verse there. Notice that the early church, they devoted themselves to something, to these certain things. The apostles' teaching, right? We know that the New Testament is inspired just like the Old Testament. The Lord spoke through holy men inspired by the Spirit, many of them apostles in the New Testament. And so the early church had received this body of teaching, the apostles' teaching. It could be equated to the Word of God, right, that we have in the Bible. They devoted themselves to the Word of God and the fellowship. They had things in common. Koinonia, right? They had this deep connection to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They ate together. And they pray together. These elements, right? And there's a lot of freedom for us as we're looking at how are we going to structure community group. There's going to be freedom. We don't have to do it the same way every week. But these are certain elements that we want to be a part of our community group. The Word of God, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayer. So we're going to have meals on Friday. We're meeting at 6:30 at Goleta Community Covenant. And we invite you all to come out. Feel free to bring something to eat as well. We're going to have these elements in there. We're going to look through the Word of God. We're going to be instructing each other, encouraging one another in the Word. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to be in person. We get to listen to each other. We get to share with each other the word. Share, how was your week? How are you doing? We get to walk alongside each other. Share a meal together. Jesus was always eating with people. And we're going to pray for each other, not only ourselves, but for what God wants to do in the community, in our city, and in the world. And so we invite you to come out to join us as we kick this off this upcoming Friday. The early church had their priorities straight. They were devoted to God, and they were devoted to each other. They didn't limit God. Notice what it says here in verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Awe came upon every soul. Fear. It's like the fear of the Lord. There was a fresh revelation experience of the fear of the Lord. And God was doing miraculous things through the apostles. These people didn't limit God. They were walking in the fullness of what God had. I pray that we would have great expectation, that we would anticipate and pray with faith that, God, we want to see you move. We want to see you work. We want to see you bring people to yourselves, that we wouldn't just be content to coast and to make community just about us. But notice, community is meant to expand. It's meant to bring people into the community. It's not just for the people who are going and showing up, the people who are already believers. It's for people who don't know Christ to be welcomed into the family. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now some would say, hey, all right, there it is, communism. We're called to it. No, this was voluntary. Right? This is really the only place we see this in the New Testament. The church doing this, like this special grace upon people. They were just like, hey, we love each other. We're in, you know, God has saved us. The Holy Spirit's within us. They're believing together. They have all things in common. God's grace was moving in a powerful way, creating this generous atmosphere, this generosity amongst the people of God. Special, amazing thing. We're to be a generous people, right? Community that's rooted in Christ is to be generous. Generous with our time, with our money, with our gifts, how we serve God. Because we realize that we're stewards. We don't own these things. We're merely put in the stewardship over these things. We're entrusted with them, and we're to be faithful with the resources that God has given us. In verse 46, notice, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Wow. These people, they were meeting a lot. Notice this, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. It's like they're at the temple. They have a big gathering, kind of like how we do on Sunday. We have the big gathering on Sundays. We kind of meet together. They were breaking bread in the homes, right? Like that's kind of like the community group idea where we're like, okay, we want to, and eventually I think we want to go into people's homes actually. Right now with COVID, we're going to be meeting at a church, but we're going to have the same idea going on. That's a smaller group, more intimate, more being able to connect more than like on a Sunday, right? Where we're kind of just worshiping through song and we're hearing the word. We have a little bit of time to talk. But community groups really to press in, to get to know each other, to get to walk alongside each other and love on each other. They were meeting at the temple and in their homes. Verse 47, they worshiped. They're praising God and having favor with all the people. They had favor within the larger community that they were a part of, right? Not just the Christian community, but the broader community. And the Lord built his church. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is really our desire, our heart. We want to see God add to his church. The Lord promised, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That wasn't just for this day in the book of Acts, the early church. That's for every church now. The Lord says, I will build it. Be faithful. Create space. Preach the word. Pray. It's really ordinary. But everyone today wants extraordinary. Everybody wants the smoke and mirrors and the fog machines. And it's wild. We want all the glitz and the glamour. But what God's saying here, what we see in the early church, was there was a simplicity to community. There was an ordinary nature of it. It's like it's ordinary, but God's doing extraordinary things through those ordinary means. And I believe if we were to get back to the basics, to say we don't want to complicate things, we don't want to just try to attract a bunch of people, water down the message. No, we want to be faithful to Jesus, to love him, to love people. If we were to go back to basics, I really believe we'd see God move in powerful ways. It's not about just attracting people. It's about being faithful with what God has called us to do. As we're faithful, God is fruitful. He'll bring the fruit. And so my encouragement to us is to not focus on just the fruit or just the more getting more people, but really, how can we be faithful? How can we go back to the basics? To do what's prescribed in the Word of God and to walk in these things by the power of His Spirit. I want to talk about the challenges and the blessings of biblical community, okay? Because I don't want you to come into this thinking that everything's peaches and roses. As some of you know, if you've been a part of church and community for any amount of time, you know that things can get sticky. You know that there are challenges. It's messy. It doesn't always go smoothly. There are people who might talk way more than you feel comfortable with. They dominate the conversation. There's awkward dynamics socially sometimes. There's spiritual warfare. Like, that's going to ramp up too, so just be ready for that. Pray against that. The enemy's going to want to discourage you. He's going to want to lie to you. No one wants you. You don't belong. You've had a tough week. You should just take it easy. You don't need a good community. That's just another thing. All those, you got to recognize when the enemy is lying to you. You got to fight through those things and pray, God, give me strength. Let me not bite that bait. Help me to persevere. Community is challenging because it's risky, right? You might get hurt. You might get your feelings hurt. You might take a risk and share something with someone in confidence, and they might tell someone else. That's a very real possibility. That's something I've heard before. It's not always convenient, right? I don't have time. It's Friday. I'm tired. I just want to relax. There's different challenges that will arise when we talk about community, and I just want you to be aware of this as we go forward. There's difficult people. But man, I would say there's so many blessings that come with community as well. I don't want to just scare you away. I want to just be honest with you. Hey, there are challenges, but it's worth it. Community is still worth it, even with all the challenges. I can't tell you how blessed I've been being a part of community groups in the past. It's been amazing because I got to discover my gifts and really hone those things in. I've got to use my gifts. God has helped me and showed me through the encouragement of people in the community group that say, hey, man, I think you're gifted to teach or whatever it is, if it's to do worship. And some of you have experienced this. They're like, man, you have a gift for this. You're going to gain clarity on your gifts as you choose to be a part of community. As you choose to step out and serve, right? As there are certain needs that need to be met. As you engage with people, as you're willing and open to be used by God, you're going to receive wisdom and guidance and affirmation from God's people on where your gifts lie. You will find unexpected blessings. It might be a job. It might be a connection that you make. There might be a lifelong friend in community group that you would never meet unless you went. There are people like that. There are people who I've met in community group. And our relationship goes deep. It's like, wow, my life would not be as full if I didn't know this couple or these people. Many people like that. I've met my wife there, right? It's an amazing place to find a wife or a husband. I'm not saying you should go just for that, but I mean, it's an amazing thing when you're in God's family, when you find someone and God brings that person. What an amazing blessing that is. There's people from all different types of walks of life, older people, younger people, new believers. It's amazing. We all need people like that in our lives. You're going to see people grow. You yourself will grow spiritually. You'll be sharpened. You'll be challenged. I would encourage you, if you're kind of on the fence with this, man, just take a step of faith. Come out. Join us. See what the Lord would do. Last thing. How the gospel shapes the way we view community. Jesus came. He died to bring us into his family. He adopted us. It's not just about our individual salvation. It's about the whole family of God being brought into right relationship with him and with each other. This is a privilege that we've been given, to be a part of God's family. And we've been invited to take part and to be the church to each other. And that means that we approach community not just on what can this community do for me, but how can I contribute to this community, to the health and well-being of this group. We don't come just as spectators. We come with willing hearts, willing to be used by God. It's not just about getting our needs met. It's about how can I be a blessing to other people? Because you know what? Jesus Christ himself came down from heaven. He left his throne on high. And at the cross, there was a severing in this relationship, right? The relationship that he enjoyed from all of eternity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a severing there. Why? Because of sin. Not because of his sin, but because of our sin. He cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, sin brings separation. See, if it wasn't him, it would be us. That's the state that we are in, eternally separated from God because of our sin. We all deserve hell. And Jesus says, I will take the wrath for you. I will absorb the hell that you deserve so that you might be sons and daughters and brothers and sisters in my family. And as we remind ourselves of the gospel, of this great severing, of this relationship that Christ endured, the gospel beckons us to gather. It encourages us. Don't lose hope. Don't neglect meeting together. Stick it out. Keep going when it's tough. It gives us the right mindset and motivations. It causes us to flourish in community. As Jesus came, he purchased a people for God. And one day, we'll be with him forever. Perfect community. There'll be no barriers, right? We're going to see him. We're going to know him. We're going to be with each other. There'll be fullness of joy. And for the time until that day comes, we're called to meet. We're called to gather because we're called to experience transformation in community. So that as we get closer and closer to his coming, we're made ready. We're not taken by surprise. We've been experiencing God's grace in this time, in the space of knowing each other, of doing life with each other, encouraging one another, allowing the word to be our foundation, praying for his kingdom to come, breaking bread together, fellowshiping with one another. These are things that are available to us. The decision's ours. Will we tap into that? Or will we kind of go our own way? Will we kind of just coast, say, I'm going to stay in a safe place? The gospel would call us to press into community, to press in to Christ and see what he would do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace upon us. We thank you for bringing us into your family. We thank you for the privilege it is to be your children. It's a high calling, Lord. It's a high responsibility. And it's tough. We acknowledge, Lord, being a part of community. We've been hurt. We've been burned. You know, I know some people have been through bad experiences, been misunderstood in the community. And I pray that you'd bring healing and you'd wash over those wounds and that you would still give us that hope in you, Lord. That we would be pleasantly surprised with how you move, with what you want to do. That you'd be glorified in us, God. So have your way in our lives, Father. Bless this next season, Lord, as we endeavor on this new journey. That you would cause it to be fruitful. You cause us to grow more in love with you. And that we have more love for each other, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.